championship game with a true freshman starting quarterback? One national pundit thinks that's the case. When do you think BYU will have its first loss of the season? Could the Cougars start 3-0, 5-0, maybe even 6-0? What the people are saying. We've got the latest from training camp with conversations from the running back room and with the offensive line. And does men's hoops have the best 1-2 scoring punch in all the land? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, August 14th. Welcome to the show. Coming up on the program, camp one-on-ones with running back Sione Moa, center Bruce Mitchell, plus three potential blue goggle takes from national media and new college football rules that you need to know about, and maybe the one that they missed. But we start today with what everyone is naturally thinking about, wondering about the QB depth chart. What we are not wondering about is who the main running backs are. LJ Martin is RB1, firmly entrenched at RB2 is Sione Moa, who spoke with Spencer Linton after practice earlier this week.
Sione, we're essentially at the halfway point of training camp, and you have about 2.5 weeks for game number one. So in terms of progress as a team, where do you feel like the whole unit has developed and improved the most as we head into mid-August?
I think we have a lot of new guys, a lot of guys left from last year, so we have a lot of guys having to step up. I think especially within our offensive linemen, I think they've stepped up a ton. Aside from, you know, the quarterback stuff and whatnot, but I think our offensive line has definitely progressed from where they were when we started, even spring ball, till now. And so that's something that obviously as a running back, it excites me just seeing all the holes open up and all their pass pro going well, making a pocket for the quarterback. And so that's the one thing on the offense that's really built my confidence for this upcoming season, is knowing that the offensive lineman and Coach Woods has been getting their stuff like a lot better than last year. Even, I'm not saying last year was bad, but I'm saying it's a lot better. And so I think we should all be excited for them to show up on Saturdays.
That's telling, because when you lose multiple veteran starters in such a key group like the offensive line, there's reason to have concern. But yet you're telling me you feel like they're dialed and they're ready to roll. So specifically, what are you seeing in that offensive line in front of you to make you feel confident at this point?
It's a lot of the mental stuff. I think the schemes, the schematics and stuff that Coach Woods has them running. Like I said, a lot of them are young. A lot of them are new to the program. And so just seeing them make the mistakes in spring ball or make the mistakes earlier in this camp and seeing them just fix their mistakes and just continue to move forward and just do those little things, those mental games and stuff, that's what's really shot my confidence up for them. So.
How would you explain the confidence of the running backs room right now, led by LJ Martin and you?
I think we'll be solid, honestly. Like, after LJ, it's me. After me, it's Enoch. After Enoch, it's Jovessa, and so on and so forth. And so I think there's not really any worry in our room, at least. We know what we've been doing throughout the offseason, and so we're confident going into August 30th and so on and so forth.
How have you changed and improved as an individual player from last season to right now?
A big mentality shift. Last year, I was just trying to learn the plays, trying to understand, all right, college football is a lot different from high school football. And so just getting that, getting the plays down, getting all the big old load that you get from college football, that's what I was trying to get on last year. This year is just really just, I know the plays, I know what I'm supposed to do. Now it's just attacking every single day with 100% effort and just really having that dog mentality that Coach Harvey tries to instill to us running backs each and every day.
So. I know I asked you about this on the cruise and a couple of times earlier in camp, but just for the record, how are you feeling as far as your personal health goes and recovering from injuries?
I feel 110%, honestly. I've done a lot of rehab throughout this offseason. Like we mentioned in the cruise, the ankle injury during last year, in the beginning of the season, it kind of hurt me mentally and physically and stuff. But from then to now, there's been so much progress. And I feel like I'm back in my body and even better. And so I'm excited to see what this can do for this next upcoming season. So.
What are you seeing from your good friend LJ Martin? Because he's very understated and humble and quiet. But in terms of the production and his improvement, what are you seeing through your eyes when you see LJ run the ball?
I mentioned this, like, he takes so much load off my shoulders. Like, he is a running back that I trust full-heartedly, like, with anything, whether it's pass blocking, whether it's running the ball, especially going out for passes and stuff. Like, I know he's going to do his job. Like, he's going to give his best effort, and he's going to make plays. And so it helps me as his backup just to know, like, all right, like, I have no worries with, like, him or even the people behind us and stuff, like, or our boys behind us. Like, there's no really worries, especially with him. So.
Camp always presents an interesting dynamic because it is your team, but you face the defense. There's a lot of chirping. What's it like to play against the current version of the BYU defense as your running backs coach, Harvey Unga, walks behind us?
I think it's awesome. I'm not really much of a talker, but just, like, our defense is feisty, and so it gets our offense riled up stuff, and so practice is just – it's just an amazing environment. It's game-like environment, and so it's awesome going against Keanu, going against Tanner Wall, going against Jack Kelly, Isaiah, all those guys, and – just going at each other throughout all practice and stuff. And so it's cool. It's a fun feeling. So, yeah.
Not many at the running back position are in a position to run through somebody or run over someone. So, Sione, as far as gamesmanship goes in practice, when that hole opens up, who do you like to see on the other side of the hole and you want the contact with?
Oh, I love my safeties. Oh, they I don't know if it, maybe it's personal belief, but they always try to wrap us up and stuff like that. And it's honestly disrespectful thinking that they could tackle. Like, no disrespect to my safeties and corners and stuff like that, but when I see them try to, like, fit me up and stuff, it's kind of disrespectful to me. And so when I see them in the hole, I really love it when they're in there just to get, you know, just some brotherly love. And so that's it, yeah.
I love the honesty and that answer. Sione Moa is with us on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned the quarterback battle, which has been a clear headline for outside viewers of BYU's training camp. What are you seeing collectively from the three quarterbacks as they try and win this position?
I think there's been a big confidence boost with each and every one of them. They haven't really been – I guess you could say they've been close with each other throughout all campus stuff. They're battling, obviously, but their brotherhood is still there. And so it's sort of like just they're pushing each other to be better in each aspect of the game. And so I really love their confidence going into this camp, especially Bear being young, McKay and Trayson being our backups last year and stuff, just having them all have to step up this upcoming year and try to play that role as QB1. And it's been really fun to see them progress each and every day.
We've heard a lot about Trayson's leadership and even McKay and their understanding of the playbook, but because Bear is so new and we don't know a lot about him, from your vantage point, what is he doing as a quiet guy and a dude that's trying to win the quarterback to make you think he could be the leader of this team?
You're right, Trayson and McKay, they have those leadership roles and stuff. Bear is young. But off the field, like, when he's talking to us and stuff, you can tell that he's all in. He's bought in with everything, too. And so they're all bought into this program. They're all bought into trying to fit that role of being that leader, leading the offense to wins and stuff like that. And so with Bear being young, there's no worry in him being a leader as well. He's definitely a leader in my eyes when I talk to him. And the stuff that comes out of his mouth, it's all positive, all uplifting and stuff. And so whoever's in that position, I'm all for it. And so,
how much does the offensive dynamic change depending on who the quarterback is at a given time?
They all have their different abilities, their different unique things that they're good at. Bear, he's a runner 47 because he's a fullback or whatever he said, you know what I'm saying? So he likes toting that rock. And then McKay's speedy, and then Trayson's tall, and, like, they all have their own different things. And so coach will use them how he sees fit. I trust Matt and trust Coach A-Rod and stuff to put them in positions where he knows that they'll succeed. And so if I was quarterback, like, you know, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably lose and go 0-12. But, I trust every one of them. So, yeah.
Don't sell yourself short, Sione. Let's say you have an opportunity to throw a ball on a trick play.
Pull up my high school, my quarterback clips. You know, my junior and senior, I got some clips in there. Just pull them up on huddle. You got them. So.
Are you throwing your name in the mix,
Coach,
late?
Hey, Coach A-Rod, if you see this, like, if you need a fifth string, like, I'm there. I can roll out. I can on the run and stuff. Just check out the film. It's there. So,
Sone, great to talk with you, man. And we're glad to hear that you're healthy and you're feeling well. Enjoy a little bit of a retreat and some time to rest the body. And we'll see you later this week as camp continues.
Okay, thank you.
Quarterback wannabe Sione Moa, as Spencer Linton now joins us. I thought Parker Kingston would be the next man with three touchdown passes at BYU.
Jerem, there's another man in the mix to throw a trick play pass. It's Sione Moa.
Let's go. No, that's funny. Good stuff from Sione. So we know, as I mentioned, LJ Martin's RB1. That's clearly RB2. And 5 yards a carry last year. He comes off like a bruiser, and then but he's slippery as an eel. Like three touchdowns last year. Memorable touchdowns, too, that he had. I expect him to have 300-400 rushing yards as RB2 and catch out of the backfield. He had nearly 8 yards per catch last year.
Yeah, a few of his defenders said his quickness is deceptive, and then he pops you in the mouth. So that's a dynamic duo of traits to have as a running back, especially at BYU. Love the depth there. What happens after LJ Martin and Sione Moa? We know that's Enoch Nawahine.
And then probably Jovessa Demuni is there. There's your top four.
Nawahine was mentioned by name by Aaron Roderick recently, and he said, look, he played a huge role for us in a couple of games.
So yes.
They feel like he is capable, but there is still a little bit of trepidation about the depth because they needed five running backs last year.
Yes. Unfortunately, Pokai Honga isn't on the roster this fall. Hinkley Ropati, they're still waiting for him. They're hoping that they get an answer. Hinkley's around doing whatever he can.
That would bring a measure of relief.
Hinkley would be big time because, as I've mentioned, he's first-team All-American screen guy. 15 yards per catch for him. I mean, that's crazy. So, Sione, I like those top two. You got some young bucks in the mix. You know who's been interesting is Preston Rex, Isaac Rex's younger brother.
They brought him over because they needed the
depth. Brought him over, and he's been mentioned by several people that we've talked to publicly and privately of like, hey, he's got some wiggle, man. Mm. Not bad for a guy that in camp made the switch. So we'll see. The other day he wasn't in pads, so hopefully everything's good with him.
As long as they don't have to move a linebacker to running back. Unless it's
Tyler Algier. Or Harvey Lung. I mean, that has worked before. Let's
Twice.
Be honest. Yeah, exactly.
Twice.
Okay, for more.
Worked out better with Tyler than Harvey.
Yes, it did. Hey, both played in the NFL, man. For more fall camp coverage, interviews, shows, Deep Blues, we got a Bruce Mitchell interview coming up later in the program. You can find them on BYUSN.com or download the free BYU TV app.
After the break, some blue goggle takes from national pundits. Mm-hmm. From national media members. Like, Bear Bachmeyer can lead BYU to the Big 12 championship game?
Whoa!
Who said that? This is BYU Sports Nation.
All three of these guys.
Our offense has never been better. We're going to be just fine.
Whoa!
The defense is so good.
The trajectory of BYU athletics, unbelievable.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It's time to reveal some blue goggle takes from national experts and the span multiple topics and multiple sports. Let's begin with a friend of the program and college football writer for CBS Sports, Shahan Jayaraja, who said the following on the College Football Insiders podcast.
If he is the guy, if he has truly separated himself as being somebody who could start week one, and by the way, we talked about Florida's tough schedule to start. BYU has a great schedule to start for a first-time quarterback. They could easily be 6-0 heading into that game against Utah. It changes the upside. I dropped them from being among my contenders in the Big 12, one or two, to like 8 or 9 after they lost Jake Retzlaff. Not because I thought that Jake Retzlaff is a superstar quarterback, but because he was asked to do so much for that team. If they have upside at that position with a really good running back in LJ Martin, with a really good receiver room with Chase Roberts, and by the way, also his brother Tiger Bachmeyer, who's a really good player, it changes a lot and maybe could help elevate BYU back into that contender tier.
Yeah, let's clarify the he in that statement from Shahan Jayaraja. He is zeroing in on Bear Bachmeyer, saying that if Bear starts, BYU has a legitimate shot to make the Big 12 championship game.
He didn't say maybe at the end, so it kind of softened it there.
Bear or bust for Shahan? Jerem, does he have a point? Or is Shahan wearing straight-up BYU blue goggles with this take?
Listen, we all want that. That would be incredible. Nobody watching this show that is bleeding blue doesn't want this, Spencer. I do feel it is an aggressive take. It is some mild blue goggles to be like, yeah, BYU could go to the Big 12 title game. I just think as a true freshman, we're going to give him some grace, some time to figure it out. Frankly, if BYU goes 5-4 in Big 12 play and 3-0 in non-conference.
With a true freshman starting
and
quarterback?
8-4, which unfortunately, I think we have the same exact opinion on this. 8-4 regular season probably is our kind of expectation. I think that's pretty good with a true freshman. I really do. But is it good enough with all the pieces around that quarterback? Is 9-3 what we should expect? I don't know. It feels a little blue goggle to me. Trust me, I want that as much as anybody else, if not more. I would love to be like, yes, BYU's going to go 10-2 in the regular season. They're going to go 7-2 in league. They're going to win a tiebreaker. They're going to be in the Big 12 title game with a true freshman. And at that point, Bear won't be a true freshman. He'll be experienced. He'll have 12 starts under his belt, blah, blah, blah. They'll be in the playoff. Chances are that's not happening. But if this defense and run game and Bear develops way quicker than we thought, and he is the number 6 dual threat in the country coming out of high school, all these things happen. It just is difficult with a true freshman. Well, there have been other freshmen that have done it. Jerem, Sam Levitt at Arizona State.
Red shirt
freshman. Johnny Manziel in the Heisman is a red shirt freshman. Oh, you said red shirt. True freshman, it's hard. I want to give him some ability to make a few plays where we go, what was that? He's a freshman. A senior would make a couple plays where we go, what was that? So that feels a little blue goggled to me. And trust me, we are a blue goggled program.
It's blue goggled. But Shahan believes in BYU's defense, clearly, and the team element.
Yeah.
Who was the last great true freshman starting quarterback in college football? I was trying to think about who, as a true
was
freshman.
Was Tua a true freshman when he came in for Jalen Hurts? I can't remember.
Incredible. But he didn't start the season.
Right. He got some time later.
He had basically the whole season to receive tutelage under Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
This is a very different. Matt Barkley at USC was a true freshman.
Was Nico Iamaleava a freshman?
I don't
true
know if he was a true freshman.
You know.
Point is,
it's Caleb Williams maybe at Oklahoma.
It's difficult to think about those names because there are few. There are few that have been
Did they redshirt?
As true freshmen.
Yeah.
So I am inclined to be very patient with Bear. If
Trevor Lawrence, but he was a number one draft pick.
He was a great true freshman.
Yeah.
Did Clemson win the national championship that year? Or were they just good?
Yes.
Wow.
Peyton Manning,
there you go.
Tennessee, 94. He went 7-1 as a starter. Okay. Like, I just found a couple. But it's, I mean, we're reaching into 2018. 94? I mean, it's not common.
It's tough to do it. So if you presented to me that BYU has a winning record in a Power Four conference at 5-4, and they go 8-4 overall with a true freshman starting quarterback.
That's really good.
How could you not be excited about the future for BYU?
Yeah.
And you have a chance at 8-4 to go to a bowl game and maybe get to 9 wins on the season.
And 5-4 in this league, you're probably tied for 5th.
Which is awesome.
How many teams are going? No one's going 9-0, 8-1 to me. Nobody. It's 7-2 is your first place teams in this league.
The argument for BYU fans that I have seen that has become so common on social media with why BYU could be and should be better than 8-4 is because of what happened last year. They're pointing to Jake Retzlaff's less than overwhelming stats and saying, well, can't Bear Bachmeyer do that? If he could just replicate what Jake Retzlaff did, why couldn't BYU win double-digit games again? That is the argument.
Yeah, and as a freshman, I would argue those are pretty good numbers. Like, Tanner Mangum's numbers in 2015 as a freshman, as a true freshman off a mission, pretty stinking good. He went north of 3,000. I want to say it was high 20s, low 30s touchdowns.
Schedule difficulty was way different.
Right. But the fact that you get thrown in here and your helmet's not even the correct size, then you throw that Hail Mary.
This is blue goggled.
Yeah.
But I understand why BYU fans are stuck in the idea of, well, Jake wasn't a world beater.
Right.
So if Bear can just take care of the ball and not lose BYU games, the defense and all the parts are good enough to win double-digit games.
Your QB does have to win you a couple.
And Jake did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yes. And your QB loses you some, too. Right? It happens. Number two, sticking with CBS Sports. Brad Crawford did a Big 12 schedule breakdown. He picked each team's first loss of the season, by the way. Shahan will join us tomorrow, who we just talked about.
Yep.
So Brad goes, BYU's first loss. When is it going to be? At Arizona, October 11th.
Whoa.
That means BYU would start 5-0. Your boy mentioned that I think that's going to happen the other day. Is that blue goggle that Game six is the first loss, and at Arizona would be that one.
It's just a hint of blue. It's not
like a light blue.
Put on the goggles. It's just some blue haze.
Blue haze.
If you will. 5-0 to me feels like it's very possible because who on that schedule in the first five games is straight up on paper better or expected to be better than BYU right now?
None
of those
them.
Teams.
Including Arizona, by the way.
Okay. So why not get to 6-0? I know it's in Tucson. But in the Kalani era, he has had his way. He's never lost to Arizona as the head coach at BYU. And they've played a bunch of games.
Yes, they have.
He's had his way with Arizona in all locations, in Tucson, in Las Vegas, and in Provo.
And in Glendale.
And in Glendale.
Yeah, in Glendale, Arizona, in the first game.
In four separate locations, BYU's played Arizona. Kalani and BYU have won all of them.
Kalani's a real estate guy with Arizona. Location, location, location.
The thing that scares me about Arizona in game number six is if Noah Fifita rediscovers what he was 2 years ago and it becomes a shootout, then I'm nervous because I don't know if BYU's offense with a potentially true freshman starting quarterback can afford to get into shootouts.
Will the BYU defense ever allow a shootout?
I don't know.
I think they're good enough to not be in that situation.
They got into a shootout with Oklahoma State last year.
30s, kind of, yeah. To me, a shootout's like, you got to go probably in the 40s. That's, yeah.
Okay.
30s, it's like, yeah.
Was it 37, like 35?
35, or? 31? Was that the final? Something like that?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, we'll see. It is a little bit blue-goggled. But, yeah, that schedule, you can do it. Utah at Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU. Ah, that's game 7, 8, 9.
It was 38-35 last
38-35.
year. 38-35. So that to me felt like
we'll
a higher scoring game.
Mid to high 30s, that's shootout, sure. Yeah.
An Oklahoma State team was 0-3 in the Big 12 coming in.
That's it. And they ended up 0-9. That's it. That would have been such a bad loss, by the way. If it had been the one, it's like, oh.
So
the only win for Oklahoma.
You told me BYU was 6-0. Then we're kind of getting borderline blue-goggled.
Because listen, the color, yeah, of those three first, those first three Big 12 games, chances are you lose one of them. Yeah, one of them.
I believe BYU is good enough to be 5-1. That is my expectation.
Even with true freshman quarterback.
5-1, and then can you split the back six where the schedule gets much tougher?
So it'd be nice to be 6-0, and then if you go 3-3, you're 9-3, and now we're talking. If BYU's 6-0, things are going to get crazy. But it's like, hold on! Kind of like 23, where BYU was 5-2 and then lost 5-0. It's like, yes, BYU's 5-2, but let's, you know, we're adding a ton of weight to the bar here coming up the back half.
Let's keep it going, shall we? Yep. Some blue haze. Start 6-0, then it gets a little blue-goggled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Big 12 announced yesterday that all teams, football and basketball, as we prepare for these games and hoping that BYU comes out a winner, will now have to produce an injury report, Jerem.
This is actually great for us. It's
it
just
helps us so
public.
Much.
We all have it.
Specifically, teams will be required in football to submit reports 3 days before their game. The night before, and a final report 90 minutes prior to game time. Like, it's official.
This helps the on-field reporter. You. You and Mitchell Jurgens are like, please make it manifest.
I am in favor.
Yeah.
Is this a welcome change? This is the most obvious question I may have asked ever in the history of this program.
Who's holding teams, not BYU, to be honest in their dealings here? Mm-hmm. Who's saying, wait a minute, because last year it was like, yeah, Cam Rising could play. Yeah, Cam Rising could play. He didn't play after that. There are questions there, right? Other teams, you know, there's some gamesmanship, I'm sure, with this. You don't want to hold your cards out. If you say that a guy is out and then he plays, is there any repercussions for that? What is the sort of honesty level of this report?
Yeah.
And what is the competitive advantage gamesmanship element of that? Yes, it is absolutely welcome. I think that's great.
There are some other rule changes along with this very obviously awesome shift with the pregame injury report. It makes so much sense, okay? But do these other football rule changes, not just the Big 12, but in college football, make sense to you, including cracking down on players feigning injuries? Oh, the flop, Jerem!
So basically, once the ball is spotted,
yes,
you can't be injured. Otherwise, it's a use of a timeout, and then that player still has to come out.
If a player presents an injury after the ball is spotted,
yeah,
a team will be charged that timeout that you mentioned.
Yep.
This needed to happen.
Yeah, this is good. It slows down teams from slowing down the defense. Yeah.
Only one timeout in the first two overtime periods. One more for the remaining overtimes in the game if it advances two additional overtimes. Kick returners can signal a T with their arms and play will be whistled dead.
Now, I would think it's with your hands. You have to do T for Tonga?
I have no idea.
To me, it'd be with your hands. It'd be like a timeout.
Okay.
Why did they say arms? This is arms.
Maybe they want it. Like
Samoa's like, yo, what's up with that?
Maybe they want it more bombastic, like a bigger signal. Maybe that's why they suggest the arms instead of this.
This wasn't enough? Oh, you stick your arms out,
like
your whole
this.
Body. Okay, okay.
That's how you signal a T, not like this with your arms. Okay, straight
up. So now they're making it real difficult for the returner. They have to literally go with all that over and then bring them back in. They waited the last second. That's a little weird to me.
Okay.
Parker Kingston will be just fine.
Well, it's happening, and if they do that, the play will be whistled dead.
Someone's going to go like this, and they're like, that's a invalid signal.
Yep. Defensive players within 1 yard. Defensive players within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage may not make quick and abrupt actions, simulating a snap. This is to, like, try and make the opponent jump offside or false start.
Yeah. Yep, there's certain words that are specific to the defense. You know, there's a bunch of stuff.
You can't mimic those.
Cougar Stats brought up a great point yesterday when I posted, hey, here are the new rules. They did not address one of the biggest issues in college football right now,
which is
the substitutions. When the offense makes a sub and the defense just lightly jogs out there and then the offense takes a delay, a game, or a timeout, I want some kind of resolution where if you haven't gotten your guys in within 5 seconds or whatever, they can just snap it. The offense can just snap it. Like, once you hit 5 seconds, sorry. And if the offense, they're not going to sub that late, typically. You can say, like, the offense cannot sub later than 10 seconds on the clock. And, like, they can snap it at 5 seconds regardless of what the defense.
So you put both teams on a shot clock.
Yes.
To make sure that you can't beat the system.
Yes. There's something there that needs to be done because it's so annoying when the offense makes a sub at 20 seconds. They get off at 10 seconds, and then the defense starts. Oh, two D linemen. BYU and Utah in that game.
Oh, my goodness.
There was some massive flexes in this space next to each other. And it's just annoying to watch. You use the rules to your advantage. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Because then you're forced to call timeouts.
Or you have to take a delay of game.
Take a penalty.
Yeah, like, it's just annoying. We got to fix that one. Okay, back to Blue Goggle Takes.
Let's go.
Potentially. Although, I don't know about this one. College Basketball Report posted this graphic on X showing the projected top scores in college basketball for the upcoming season on the Torvik data and projections.
Mm-hmm.
Torvik knows what he's talking about. A.J. DeMonte, eighth on the list, projected at 18.4 points per game. Richie Saunders, 19th at 16.9. Is there a world where BYU has two of the top 20 scorers in the nation?
Yes. We expect both of them to be drafted into the NBA, and they... in Richie's case, has proven it from last season. He's considered an all Big 12 first team player. So if you have the potential first round pick overall in the NBA draft and A.J. DeBonta.
First overall, yeah.
Yeah. And Richie Saunders, who has already proven it at the college game.
Feels like Richie's at least second round, right?
This doesn't feel that blue goggled.
No, not at all. Like, In fact, I expect this.
I get it.
It was just quantified in this graphic.
Wouldn't it be nice if those two were putting up 36 points combined per night?
And Rob Wright's like, I'll give you 14. Let's get to a just
the big three putting up 50 combined every night. Whew. Yeah, but that doesn't.
I expect that.
That does not feel that blue goggle. Maybe AJ averages 17.1.
I'm actually.
And Richie's 16.2.
I got AJ for 20.
They'll be there.
Give me 20.
I think he's unselfish.
If he's 18, he's probably... To me, AJ is the amount of shooters on this team. He's at least 3.5 assists per game. He's going to have a high number.
Yes, he shares the ball very well.
Watch those highlights they put out on social. He is finding guys open. By the way, Richie is taking dribble step-back threes now on guys. It's not just catch and shoot. There's
developed
a new element to his game.
Absolutely.
Also, Zach Selya said... in practice to Eric Meek and TJ Haas on their podcast. These guys...
are all so good.
They're all so good. He's like, I try and guard AJ with my dad's strength.
Yeah, he said I'm trying
hard
to body him up with my dad's strength.
Yeah, it's tough.
His mullet and, oh my goodness, mustache.
By the way,
Kevin Young yesterday said that the last 2 days of practice specifically, for the first time, he stepped back and thought, whoa, we could be really good.
It just hit him.
Like these last 2 days, he's like, we have looked really good. And they've had some minor nicks and bruises that have kind of not allowed the full team to get out there and be practicing consistently. But he said nothing to be super concerned about. So he's like, I'll be excited to see like when all of our guys are fully healthy and we're going. But even now, the last 2 days of practice, I have been like, whoa, we can be really good. And he says, day-to-day basis, AJ will typically do one or two things every day that make me go, okay.
And that's the guy that was in NBA practices for over a decade.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. By the way, on that graphic, JT Toppin at Texas Tech expected to be the leading scorer in the country. Mm. John Blackwell with Wisconsin, hello, again, at the Delta Center. And then Darren Peterson, of course, the wannabe foil to AJ.
Yeah, it's Boozer, Peterson, and AJ DeBonta who are the projected top three picks right now.
Yeah. So the NBA draft. Those are the opponents on the board. It's fun that the two BYU guys are right next to each other on this graph, by the way. That's what my son Tate pointed out. He goes, oh, AJ and Richie right there. Yes, son. BYU will be right there. Let's go.
Can you imagine 36 points a night from those?
Caleb Wilson, by the way, North Carolina in the exhibition as well.
That one doesn't feel that blue goggle to me. Maybe you think it is. Maybe you're not ready to buy into the idea that BYU legitimately has two of the top 20 scorers in the country on the same team. But, hey, here we are.
I think most BYU fans are.
Here we are.
You don't have to like it, but those who aren't BYU fans may be participating in the program. Welcome. Great to have you.
Our question of the day, which of the following national media takes is the most blue-goggled take? This is not generated from Studio B anywhere in the...
We got plenty of those.
BYU home base. This comes from national pundits. Okay, number one, BYU in the Big 12 championship with Bear Bachmeyer. That from Shahan J. Raja.
Yep.
BYU's first loss of the season will happen at Arizona, so the Cougars are starting at worst 5-0. Or BYU basketball having two of the top 20 scores in the nation.
What's
which
it
we
to
just
you?
Talked about.
To me, it's the Big 12 championship. That's the most blue.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
5-0, 6-0. If you told me BYU started 7-0, then I think that rivals BYU in the Big 12 championship with Bachmeyer. Because if you start 7-0, you legitimately are making a run for a Big 12 championship game appearance.
Yeah, if you go 7-0 in one of those Utah, you've beaten Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona, Utah.
You've won at Colorado and at Arizona, and you just beat Utah, and you're 7-0.
Now anything is possible.
That's on par with Big 12 championship with Bear Bachmeyer.
If you go 8-0, you're legit top six team to me. At Iowa State.
If BYU starts 5-0.
Like the biggest blue goggles we got at 8-0.
Jeremy, they're one team, they're one spot out of the top 25 right now. They have a head start. They still have somewhat of a pole position. If you start 5-0, BYU going into that Arizona game could be like number 13 in the country.
Yes.
Or number 12.
Which is what they were last year. They were up at 11 when they were, 5-0, 6-0?
They could legitimately be a top 10 team if they win that game going into the Utah game at the midway point. Wild. All right. We gave you the options on our Instagram poll. The most blue goggle take right now, 68% say Bear Bachmeyer leads BYU to a Big 12 championship game.
Yeah.
Not the championship per se, just the championship game, right?
Yeah, get to the title game.
Yeah.
You got to know the opponent to project who they beat. That's why I don't talk about, is BYU going to win the bowl game against a team we don't know?
9-4.
Let's wait.
21% of you say BYU basketball having two top 20 scorers in the country is the most blue goggle take. And just 11% saying BYU football starts 5-0.
That means people believe in the 5-0.
Because of how the schedule is constructed.
When it's juxtaposed to these two.
Now, if you told me BYU would have 5 wins in the back 6 games.
now that's
blue goggle.
Now that's almost more blue goggle than the Bachmeyer Big 12 title game.
You got to play Utah at Iowa State, at Texas Tech, and TCU.
And then what if Cincinnati UCF's way better?
They could be. BYU's got to go to Cincinnati this year. What if Cincinnati's an 8-win team when BYU gets there? we don't know. There will be some surprises.
We kind of know it's Cincinnati.
One of the many things that make interesting is we just don't know. There will be a couple of teams that are way better than we think, and a couple of teams were like, what happened to you?
Let's hope.
Oklahoma State and Utah last year. Like, what happened?
Yeah. No, that was crazy. Remember when Utah won at Oklahoma State? We're like, this could be a preview of the title game.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. It was not.
Nope.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. Sam Bird on X answers, two in the top 20 – basketball scorers, most blue goggles, simply because I don't think two guys are going to take over this team. AJ will do what he does best, but there are too many good pieces on the team. They'll be sharing the ball all around.
I love that idea. If they weren't in the top 20, AJ will be. Guaranteed.
He should be.
Is Richie getting enough shots? I want Richie to shoot more.
AJ's going to have the ball in his hands as a point forward.
Yeah.
That's going to happen, so get used to that.
Yeah.
And when you have that scenario, you're going to have more chance to score the ball. There will be plays where it's like, all right, spread the floor. AJ, go to work. Right?
Hey, he on salary. It's not an hourly thing. He clock in. Let's go.
After the break, BYU women's soccer officially underway tonight.
Hey!
A game that counts in the standings and a major road test against a ranked opponent. That and more previewed in today's headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It is time for your Thursday headlines.
BYU football resumes practices today after taking a break for a team retreat in Heber Valley yesterday. Some people fans of camping, some not. Quarterback battle down to Bear Bachmeier, McKay Hillstead. Bachmeier took the majority of the first team reps Tuesday. TBD on today and tomorrow. The next availability for the media is tomorrow.
Big 12 football, men's and women's basketball teams all will now have to provide injury reports before their conference games. Football teams will have to submit daily reports beginning 3 days before the game, and basketball teams will submit their reports the night before. The Big 12, by the way, the last Power Four conference to decide to do this.
Women's soccer begins the regular season tonight at number 24 Minnesota at 8 Eastern on Big Ten Plus. Best of luck to the ladies.
Let's go. Need that offense to go.
Yep.
BYU Swim and Dive just announced their 2025-2026 schedule with
get
the
alumni tickets.
Meet and blue and white meet kicking things off in September. Throughout the regular season, BYU will travel to Honolulu, Denver, Tempe, Colorado Springs, and Las Vegas. They'll finish their season with a home meet against rival Utah on February 6th. Up next, Jerem goes one-on-one with BYU center Bruce Mitchell.
I'm just bull rushing him, dude.
How is this new look offensive line meshing together just 2 weeks before the season opener against Portland State? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Coming for you, Bruce.
BYU Sports
Nation. All right, Bruce, here we are, week three of camp. How you feeling?
Continues live from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan.
First and 15.
Just make sure your guy Bruce Mitchell doesn't do that.
Bruce Mitchell, one of the more fun personalities on this team. He's from the small town of Camas, Utah. He was thrown in the starting lineup last year with some injuries and walks in as the man in the middle on the Cougars' offense. All right, Bruce, here we are, week three of camp. How you feeling, man?
Good. Body's getting a little beat up. We're in the dog days, but that just comes with the sport. But we're doing good. Offense is moving along and happy with where we're at.
People want to know everything about the quarterbacks. What's the storyline you want the people to know besides the quarterbacks about the offense?
Man, maybe just speaking on the quarterbacks, they all came prepared. They've been playing great. The offense hasn't skipped a beat, so we're happy with that. And we got a good O-line, really good backs, good tight ends. Like, we're going to be all right where we're at, whoever we put at quarterback. Got a lot of weapons around them, and hopefully we can run the ball a little bit.
How is it as the center developing a relationship to up to three or four guys in these situations?
Everybody's a little different. Everybody snaps the ball quicker, a little slower, so you got to get used to that. But when we get our guy, we'll kind of settle into that and get used to his cadence. And everybody's a little different under center as well. So just little kinks like that, but we're getting used to it.
How's your development been coming along? Because last year, Connor Pay gets hurt. You get thrown in, you're center, you're guard quite a bit, and now you're the guy at center. So what's this been like for you?
It's been good. I feel like I'm getting pretty good grip on it. There's a lot of thinking that goes on with center. You got to get everybody on the right people. So I feel like I've made a pretty big step in that this fall. So now it's just playing aggressive, violent, and moving some D linemen, making sure we give our back some creases.
Is it weird as a center that you could be perfect all game and no one would really notice? But if you mess up one time, people are like, hey!
I guess so. That's how it is with all linemen, right? Like, we could have perfect pass protection. Nobody would notice. Somebody gives up a sack, and that's when they get noticed. So I guess that goes with all O-linemen. I don't know. We got good people who recognize what we do, and we appreciate them for them. But Yeah, just give all the glory to the quarterbacks and running backs, and we'll do the tough stuff.
That's the thing people don't understand. The offensive line, you guys may have the best personalities because no one really asks you the stuff that the skill positions, which is a weird phrase, right?
Right.
It's a thinking man's position, though, I've been told. So what? Tell me about the O-line group and some of the personalities in there that make this a fun experience together.
We got a really fun group. We've kind of got like an older group, like – I mean, I'm 24, a lot of return missionaries, a lot of wives, some guys got kids.
Just to be clear, one wife each, when you say a lot of wives, just to be clear.
One wife each.
Don't want YouTube taking over.
No, one wife each. No, it's fun, man. We just, I feel like we're a lot more comfortable in our calls and everything this year, so I think we're having a lot more fun. And, man, off the field, we have a blast just goofing off with each other. And in St. George, that was fun to go down there and hang out with everybody. It's a fun room with a lot of fun personalities who like to play probably a little more than we should, but it's fun.
This is a game at the end of the day.
Right.
Tell me more about that St. George trip, what that does for cohesion. There's probably no group that needs to work together like you guys on a football team. So what did that trip do for you guys?
No, it was fun. Just building chemistry. I think you need that as a whole team. But Coach Woods is always talking about the O-line. Like, you got four guys doing the right thing and one guy doing the wrong thing, and it's going to be a TFL or a sack, and the O-line's going to look bad. So you got to have five guys on the same page. I think that just builds chemistry, being comfortable to talk to each other, because, I mean, you'll see us, we'll come off the field, and we're immediately talking over what happened on each play. And you got to have chemistry in your double teams and in your pass pro and your slides. Sometimes you got to be able to communicate without really talking, just off of feeling. So I think that St. George trip was good for that, and just being out here every day with these guys, just building that chemistry and working together as a unit.
Give me some of the superlatives of the group. So who's the strongest dude in the room?
Strongest dude in the room. Kyle Safarchuk's pretty strong. Feel like I'm pretty strong. But, I don't know. Yeah, we got a lot of strong guys. Austin Luis is pretty strong. Go ask Coach Phyllis for the strength numbers. Maybe you could post that. I'm not going to say who the strongest is because they'll get after me if they see this.
Who's the guy with the best hands?
Like
if we had a tackle-eligible play, like, yeah, I would want the ball. They don't have to be a tackle, per se. Or who thinks they have the best hands.
There's probably a lot who think they have the best hands. I'd feel comfortable running a route, for sure.
Nice. Let's go.
But let's get Jot out there, right? He's a tall guy. You could just throw it up to him at the pylon, really, right? I think everybody would say they have the best hands.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go Jada because he's probably – pretty athletic guy you could just throw it up to, and he'd be easy to release at left tackle.
You're a guy that doesn't mince words. I learned that from the day in the life. You're giving it to the boys. Who is the shyest guy in the room?
Shyest guy? It's got to be some of our freshmen. Brigham Alexander's a shy guy.
Brigham, he belongs here.
Brigham, but he's a good guy. I love Brigham. We don't have a ton of shy guys, in all honesty. People aren't really scared to say what they're thinking, but it's fun. That's what makes this group fun, and that's where that chemistry comes from, is we're all open with each other, and we're saying how we think it.
Who's the most outspoken, flamboyant?
Austin Leusa. He will tell you exactly what he's thinking. And he's the oldest in the room.
He's got two kids.
He's got two kids. He's the oldest in the room, so he'll say it how it is. And he's – yeah, he – yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
For anyone, any fans who might be concerned about, hey, we're breaking a new quarterback – tell them what you're seeing that may give them confidence that, hey, it's going to be okay. The offense is going to score. They're going to move the ball. It's going to be all right.
After our first couple practices, week one, I went up to all three quarterbacks competing for the job, and I was just like, it was impressive how they all came in prepared. It really didn't feel like the offense was skipping a beat. So it gave me a lot of confidence because you weren't sure what you were going to get in terms of quarterback, but, man, they all answered the phone call and playing really good, and it's been awesome to see him compete. And competition brings out the best, so it's been awesome, and I'm not worried about it. Coaches aren't worried about it. We're gonna be all right.
What's the best thing about Camas, Utah?
Being away from the city. is that fair to say? I love it. I love growing. So Camas is where my high school's at. I grew up in Oakley, if you know where that's at.
Yeah, I've been to Oakley.
Yeah, I love it up there, man. It's awesome. It's quiet.
Yep.
Maybe one day I'll get to move back there. We'll see. It's pretty expensive.
That'll be up to Sadie, right?
Right. That's her call. She kind of likes the north side of the county, Colville area.
Yeah. She's an All-American and national champion. Yeah, she gets a heavy say in this, right?
Yeah, if I become as good an athlete as her, I'll retire when I'm 40. Yeah, so, yeah, she's the better athlete of the family on paper.
You're perhaps stronger, I would guess, but she's faster. Bruce, thanks for the time. Yeah. Best of luck with everything.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bruce Mitchell. I can't get around him. Fun fact, Bruce went to the Seattle mission and was companions with one Richie Saunders.
No way.
Fun fact.
Okay, yeah. Companions with
now
the
that's a duo.
Saunders.
Where were the videos of them playing ball or Richie taking snaps on their menu?
Richie a QB.
Bruce is later in his development as a center. He didn't really play it in high school. He was like the tackle for his high school team. And then he was kind of a guard, and then he became a center last year, like, hey, why not?
Well, his role was expedited when Connor Pay got hurt.
And he did a really good job. Strong as an ox. That guy's awesome. So the O-line, there's no question who the tackles are. Isaiah Jada at left tackle, Andrew Gentry at right tackle. Austin Leosa can fit in at right guard or sub for any guard or tackle. Center is Bruce Mitchell, Wayne Lapuahu, that left guard. Kyle Safarchuk, Sonny Macassini in the mix as well. So it's kind of 7-8 dudes they really like at this point. They've got some young bucks that we've talked about that they're excited about in the future. But it's rare to be a freshman and come in and just play. You don't have the weight typically to hang and quickness, and you're developing S&C and all that. So I like the group. It's a very experienced group. There's a couple of seniors, fourth-year juniors, and Aaron Roderick's confident. He said, hey, we're going to be able to run the ball.
He legitimately feels like there's no drop-off after losing significant pieces last year.
It's hard to be like, yeah, we lost Connor Pay, Brady Keim, and Caleb Etienne, and we're good. It's like, wow. That speaks to the recruiting. That speaks to the development of TJ Woods and that group.
Let's go. Get that offensive line ready. Those running backs are excited, as you heard Sione Moa tell us earlier.
Get them hogs going, dog.
Yes. BYU women's soccer also excited. They open their season tonight, Jerem.
Number 24, Minnesota on the road. You can watch it on Big Ten Plus, 8 Eastern time.
After the break, is it that blue-goggled to say that Bear Bachmeier, if he starts, could lead BYU to a Big 12 championship game appearance? More of your answers to our question of the day. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This program's on demand. You can download the free BYU TV, BYU Radio apps, or listen to the pod, subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day, which of the following takes from the national media is the most blue-goggled? Let's give you an update on what the vote is saying right now, and that is that BYU in the Big 12 championship game with Bear Bachmeier is leading the poll, 68% of that vote.
So it stayed at 68. Okay.
Okay.
Still going.
Some responses. At Jello underscore log on X.
I don't know what to make of that one. And Jello feels like very BYU.
Jello log does not sound very delectable.
Let's move along.
I was under the impression BYU is going to the national championship in both sports, so I guess neither.
No. One of those is way higher chance than the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, can you imagine getting to the playoff, let alone going to the Natty?
Is it
we don't have blue goggles big enough.
Is it blue goggled to say that BYU basketball would be in a national championship game? No. Is that blue goggled?
No, because they're preseason top 10. And they have the potential number one pick next year.
That still feels a little blue-goggled to me.
It's red-goggled, which is a new concept I'm just bringing up for the first time in 13 years of this program, to think otherwise. Mm.
To think that they...
Red-goggled means you don't like this place.
It's not BYU in a Final Four.
We ain't going to put any of these up here. That's what I'm telling.
Tournament's so unpredictable.
It is. It's single limb is hard. Yeah.
At Royal and Teal says, making the Big 12 championship game with a freshman quarterback is the biggest case of royal blue goggles someone could possibly wear. I would know because I'm currently wearing
them. Look, we all hope it happens. Yes. We're just talking about probabilities.
Okay. Yeah. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare, careers built for victory. Sean Arulian answers on X, none of those are blue goggled, but I disagree with the first loss being at Arizona. BYU will be undefeated after they play Utah. Okay. All right.
I would take 6-1. You name the loss besides Portland State or East Carolina or Stanford. Include Utah's that went there, hopefully. Let's go. That'd be great.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Women's soccer, best of luck in the regular season opener at Minnesota tonight, 8 Eastern on Big Ten Plus.
Our thanks to today's guests, running back Sione Moa and BYU football center Bruce Mitchell.
Sincere apologies to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
Are you actually apologizing this time?
You're right, I'm not.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Gary Pay.
Nice.
The guy who began it all.
Trevor, all their dad.
See you tomorrow. Go Cougs!